Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, December 31st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington on this New Year's Eve. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabweans suppress anger in the face of economic hardships.
Yes, Zimbabweans are very angry. The problem we have is that their anger is not being mobilized, their anger is not leadership, their anger is not being organized.
We will take a closer look at different sporting disciplines in 2015.
For a nation born out of a bloody war for freedom from white minority rule, many find Zimbabweans' suppressed anger in the face of the current hardships intriguing. Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalele gives us more.
For Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe, 2015 can be described as a great year. Highlights include hosting several high-level international delegations to Zimbabwe, including Chinese leader Xi Jinping, being recipient of the controversial Confucius Peace Prize, which he rejected, and of course, chairman of both the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, SADC, responsibilities that took him out of the country a lot. But for many of the country's citizens, the year was not so great. Increasing unemployment turned many into harassed street vendors. Demolitions of illegal structures displaced hundreds. Food shortages subjected many to hunger, and the final straw, delayed salaries and bonuses, left many destitute and desperate. But in the nation's streets, peace and calm. Hardly the signs of the public outrage displayed even in neighboring South Africa, where senior consultant Piers Ashley Pigou of the International Crisis Group is based. He says while South Africans who endured apartheid admire their neighbors' silent resilience and adaptation to the harsh realities, many are puzzled.
South Africans look at what Zimbabweans have had to endure and they scratch their head. They do not understand why Zimbabweans are taking this.
London-based political analyst Clifford Mashiri also finds this curious.
Civil servants have no pay. They are told you'll be paid in January. You finish the whole of December, you know, without pay. And even when that pay comes, there is a deduction you don't understand. That's for the teachers. Others are still in a limbo. And the rest of the economy is, you know, right on its knees. And people don't act. They just promised the president, we are going to strike next year if you continue doing this.
The internationally recognized firebrand activist Jenny Williams of the Women of Zimbabwe Arise, or WOZA, says the absence of public outcry is the strength and yet weakness of many Zimbabweans.
We are very peace-loving, very calm, and try to be as laid back as possible. On the other hand, I do feel that years of colonialism and then of dictatorship has made people still have this attitude that someone is going to come and fix it for them.
Calm and peaceful as Zimbabweans may seem, Director Pedzisai Ruhanya of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute says this should not be mistaken for acceptance or resignation of the situation.
Yes, Zimbabweans are very angry. The problem we have is that their anger is not being mobilized, their anger is not leadership, their anger is not being organized. And is not being directed to ask the government to address the problems that people are suffering.
With so much going wrong for so many in the country, from shortages of cash to buy even the most basic of commodities, power and water cuts that have many planning their lives in advance, Pigou says many are stuck in the moment.
Waiting and also very much and for a number of years now in a situation of survival and survival tactics. And part of that has translated into not forcefully taking up any kind of oppositional position against the ruling party, ZANU-PF.
Add to the mix, Pigou says, ZANU-PF's seemingly triumphant 2013 election victory over the opposition Movement for Democratic Change took much of the regional and international spotlight away from Zimbabwe, leaving citizens feeling they're on their own.
since the elections of 2013, the SADC region has effectively gone to sleep on Zimbabwe, thinking that it has somehow resolved the fundamental problems that led, of course, into the disaster of the 2008 economic decline, then, of course, the violence that led to the government of national unity in 2008. None of these issues, the fundamental causes of these problems, have been resolved.
Another possibility, offers Williams, is that of paralysis from frustration of empty and broken promises. But Williams says the build-up is starting to rip at the seams.
There's been so many broken promises. It's just horrific. And how many more broken promises are we going to put up with as a nation? For how much longer are we just going to keep smiling and smiling?
So, left to Zimbabweans to bring the change they desire so desperately, what seems to be the holdup? Analysts say it comes down to two things: lack of clear leadership and fear of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Tune in tomorrow for their take on this. For Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.
And in sports news, the year 2015 has been tougher for Zimbabwean sports, with most of the country's sporting disciplines failing to make a mark on the international front. Reporter Michael Cariati chronicles Zimbabwe's disastrous path and future prospects.
From cricket to rugby via football, the year 2015 was a year that showed that Zimbabwean sport was in crisis. Team sport was a big disappointment, as not only the cricket team but other national teams also turned into punching bags of the international sporting world. However, the mighty Warriors did the nation proud by qualifying for the 2016 Olympic Games to be held in Rio de Janeiro, although that too was nothing to gloat about. The women's soccer team qualified after beating only two teams, Zambia and Cameroon, following the withdrawal of powerhouses Equatorial Guinea. This resulted in the mighty Warriors being denied the Team of the Year award at annual National Sports Awards, with that honor going to the netball team. But still, the mighty Warriors will be there with the best the world has to offer, and Captain Felicitas Mzungoni is excited about the adventure of going to Rio.
I feel so much excited because this is our first time to qualify for the Olympics. It's our first time in history.
There were, of course, some successes in individual sports like boxing, swimming, Special Olympics, and bodybuilding. Kirsty Coventry won 3 gold medals at the All Africa Games, while Helen Costa Sinclair won the Miss International and Miss Universe titles in Italy, and later on was crowned Zimbabwe Sportsperson of the Year. Not to be outdone was boxer Charles Manucci, who retained his World Boxing Council silver title belt after systematically knocking down Gianluca Fraser in his own home country of Italy. His Zambian handlers, Oriental Boxing Promotions, represented by Chris Maluna, immediately announced that he would be challenging British World Boxing Council bronze title belt holder Amir Khan.
Our next target is Amir Khan. I'm going to go to WBC convention in Cancun, in China, to make sure that I go and bid for Charles to challenge Amir Khan. That is the route we are going for.
Sadly though, Manucci has parted ways with Zambians, but has decided to go it alone. There were celebrations too for the Zimbabwe Special Olympic athletes who went to the World Games in Los Angeles. The Zimbabweans brought back 12 medals, 3 gold, 3 silver, and 6 bronze medals. Nyasha Derere was one of the athletes who brought back a gold medal.
I enjoyed the place. To me, it was like heaven on earth. Everything, the environment, everyone was cheering for us. I never knew nor dreamed that in life there are other people who are so loving, so caring. As I experienced, everyone cheering up for me, signing autographs of other people.
The winds of change also blew in the administration, and blown away by the wind when Zifa's Kathbe Dube, who was fired by the Zifa Council, and Zimbabwe cricketer Wilson Manase, who lost his post to Ngoni Mukhuhlane in an election. Dube has since been replaced by Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa, who on his part received the confidence of the same Zifa Council with a 40-vote win over Trevor Kelce Joe, who could only manage 12 votes. Before his departure, Dube said the Zimbabwean football family was very ungrateful after financing the national team from his own pocket on a number of occasions.
Otherwise, I just told my boys, just enjoy your football. No pressure. We don't have any pressure. What for?
Chiangwa, however, has promised milk and honey for Zimbabwean football. He says he's going there to do a national service, not to waste his time.
I'm a man of action. Through my board and the CASIFA Council, to make sure that the Zimbabwe flag and anthem plays in Qatar 2022.
Football, though, was characterized by tragedy following the death of three Zimbabwean greatest footballers. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. We'll give you part two of this report tomorrow. Don't miss it right here on Studio 7.